Maseches Demai, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin, 7-7. So according to many accounts, this Mishnah rates as amongst the most difficult Mishnahs in Shas. The way that the Bar Tanura and many Rishonim explain it, it really is quite involved. However, the Ravid explains it in a fairly straightforward way, and that's the explanation of the Tiferes Yisrael, and we're going to go with that in this explanation and not the explanation of the Bar Tanura. Now, to get your mind ready for this Mishnah, we're going to do some preparatory work that will seem unrelated, but we'll come back to see how it applies to the Mishnah. So let's start with a question. If a person has a drawer with 10 black socks and 10 white socks, and they're mixed up, and he's in the dark and he can't see what's going on, question is, how many socks must he pull out of that drawer to ensure that he has a pair? How many socks must he pull out of that drawer to ensure he has a pair? The answer is 3. Why 3? Because he pulls out a sock, it'll either be black or white. So now the worst thing that can happen to him is that the second sock he pulls out is the other color than the first sock. So he'll have one black sock and one white sock after 2 socks he pulled out the drawer. That's his worst case scenario. When he pulls the third sock out, it either is black or white. It'll match one of those 2 socks, assuming that the socks he pulled out first were of a different color and he didn't have a pair up to now. So the answer is 3. A different question. How many socks must he pull out of that drawer to ensure he gets a black pair of socks? Again, he has a drawer full of socks, 10 white, 10 black, and he's going to pull out socks in the dark that he can't see. The question is, how many socks must he pull out in the dark to ensure when he comes to the light, he'll have at least a pair of black socks, 2 black socks in his hands? The answer is 12. The reason why is because, again, we think in the context of worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is that the first 10 socks he pulls out of the drawer will all be white socks. So therefore, he's no closer to his goal after 10 socks. But after he pulls out those 10 white socks, there's nothing left but black socks in the drawer. So he pulls out 2 more. And then for sure, after 10 plus 2 or 12, he has a guaranteed pair of black socks in his pocket. So again, the way to think about these puzzles are, what's your worst case scenario? What's the, if you pulled the absolute most inconvenient, non-advantageous for your, towards your goal socks, what would happen? Let's do one more just to make sure we've got it perfectly clear. Here's the case. He has a drawer with 10 black socks and 10 white socks. He's looking for a pair. So he takes one sock out, and then before taking another sock out, someone dumps in 10 red socks into the drawer. So now the drawer has a total of 29 socks. It was 10 white, 10 black. He pulled one of those out. Now 10 more red are added. So he has 29 socks in the drawer. And the question is, how many more socks must he pull out that drawer in order to ensure he gets a sock that matches the sock he pulled out first? Let me say it again. He has a drawer with 10 black socks and 10 white socks. In the dark, he pulls one sock out. Before he can pull out a second sock, someone dumps 10 red socks in the drawer. So now there are 29 socks left in that drawer. Okay, 10 are red, and the remaining 19 are black and white. We don't know which color he pulled out first. The question is, how many more socks must he pull out of the drawer of 29 to ensure he gets a sock that matches his first sock? So again, we'll go through the same line of reasoning. What's the worst case that could happen? So he pulls out a sock. It'll either be white or black first. Doesn't make a difference. So let's say it's white. Now, in is dumped 10 red socks. Now he's pulling out a second sock. The question is, how many socks must he pull out of the mix of 29 to ensure he gets a match? So what's the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario is, first of all, he pulls out 10 socks and they're all red. So he's no closer to his goal. Now, the second thing that could happen is, if he pulled out a white sock, there's still 10 black socks in the drawer and he wants to get a match to his white. And therefore, he has to pull 10 more socks out. And the worst case scenario is, all 10 of those don't match to the black socks. So he'll pull out 20 more socks and get no further. But then all that's left are the 9 white socks remaining. So when he pulls out that 21st sock out the drawer, it will match the first sock that he pulled out originally. So the answer here is 21. Okay. If you got that, great, we can move on. If you didn't get that, you should review it again to make sure this principle is clear. Okay, so now we turn to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to deal with cases of food of different statuses. It could be tevel, could be chulin, could be meiser. They get mixed together. And the name of the game is going to be not to make pairs of black socks, but to pull out enough meiser that you could use that as the trumas meiser to get the trumas meiser out the mix. So our game here is how can we take out as little as possible of the mix, but be ensured we have enough meiser to make that trumas meiser to give that to the Kohen. At least we're remaining with some produce that's edible for Yisroel. So the first case is mea tevel and mea chulin. You have a mixture of 100 figs that are tevel and 100 figs that are chulin. So this is the first of four cases. So let's go through it here. If you have 100 pieces of tevel, so that means that how much of it has to be allocated as miser. Tevel is on tithes, so a tenth of it has to go to miser. That'll be 10. Of that 10, we'll have to pull out one as trumas miser. Because a tenth of the 10 is one, that's a trumas miser obligation. So in total, from the 100 tevel, we need to pull out one piece of trumas miser ultimately. As for the chulin, so since it's already been tied, it's chulin, so then there's no miser that is available, so to speak. But don't worry, because no miser needs to be taken from it. So that means that, if you will, the amount of what I call unavailable to be miser, when it comes to tevel, we said that 10 are for miser, which means that 90 can't be for miser. And similarly, when it comes to chulin, since it's all already been tithed, none are available to miser. So what we'll need to do is we need to now pull out enough miser from this mix of 200 that we're certain we put from the mix of 200 into a basket, which is going to go to the Kohen, at least one piece of miser, which we'll designate as the trumas miser for the entire mix of 200. So how many pieces of the mix, how many figs must be pulled out of the basket of 200 and put into the basket for the Kohen to ensure that we have some miser in the Kohen's basket, which is sufficient to be trumas miser for the whole mix? So here we need a total of just one piece of miser, because we just need to take out one piece of trumas miser. So what's our worst case scenario? That the first 100 we take out of the mix are all chulin, and therefore they can't be miser because they're not available to miser because they're all chulin. And then we exhausted all the chulin, left with 100 tevel, and of course 10 of those pieces of tevel are eligible to be miser. So when you take out the 101st piece, so you have 101 in the basket for the Kohen. Now you know for certain, even if the worst case scenario happened, then the first 100 you pull out were all chulin. Now your 101st gives you one eligible piece of miser, and you'll be able to say, this is the miser for whatever, you know, part of the miser, and the rest of the miser is wherever it is in the mixture. And then that one first piece in the basket of 101, somewhere in that basket of 101, will be the trumas miser for the entire mix. And then you'll give the basket of 101 to a Kohen. You actually can sell it to him for the price of 100. And then the Kohen can eat that mixture, and you'll be left with 99 that you could eat. That's the first case. I'm attaching a printout that shows the summary of the case, and I think it's useful to follow along in it, so there you have it. That's case number one. Inside the Mishnah says, notel meav echad, you take out 101. That's all the Mishnah says. The second case, mea tevel and mea meiser. You have a mixture, 100 of the figs are tevel, meaning that they haven't been tithed at all, and therefore you have 10 meiser must come from it. And of that 10 meiser, one ought to be trumas meiser, the 1%. And 100 are miser. That means that this all 100 of those were going to a levy as miser, which means you have to pull out 10 of the 100, meaning a tenth of the 100, for trumas miser. So in total, you need to pull out 11. One for the tevel, 100 tevel, and 10 for the 100 miser, for a total of 11. So when it came to the tevel, 10 are going to be miser, which means how much are unavailable to be miser? The remaining 90. As far as the miser goes, since it's 100% miser, they're all eligible to be miser. So what's your worst case scenario? You pull out from the 200 to ensure that you've got 11 figs that are miser, which can be the trumas miser for the mix of 200. So the answer is, the first 10 that you pull out, you have no worst case scenario. If they came from the tevel, they could be 10 miser from the tevel. If they came from the miser, they're 10 miser. So the first 10 you pull out, you can't go wrong. Okay. However, after that, you might have exhausted, if you pulled all 10 from the tevel, you're left with 90 more tevel, which can't be miser. And that being the case, your worst case scenario is, after you pull out the first 10, you can pull out 90 more, which are ineligible to Yemeiser. So you pull out a total of 100, all of the tevel in your worst case scenario. Since you need a total of 11 pieces of Yemeiser, and you've only pulled out at least, only the minimum is to just pull out 10 so far, you have to pull out one more from the mix. That will then, at that point, even if your worst case scenario happened, that will come from Yemeiser. So now you have an 11th piece of Yemeiser. And with those 11, you'll put those total of 101, 90, so to speak, plus 10, plus 1, 101 in the basket for the Kohen. You'll say wherever in that basket of 101 is the Yemeiser, that will be the Trumas Yemeiser on the mix. And then the rest of the Yemeiser will be wherever it is. You give the basket of 101 to the Kohen, and you're left with 99. That brings us to case number 3, which is Mea Chulin Mesukanim. You have 100 totally tithed, ineligible for future Yemeiser, not needed to take future Yemeiser, and Mea Yemeiser. They get mixed together. So for the 100 that are Chulin, there's no Yemeiser available, but no Yemeiser needs to be removed. And therefore, there's 100 that's unavailable to be Yemeiser. As far as the 100 Yemeiser, so all 100 are available for Yemeiser, and 10 need to be removed as Trumas Yemeiser. So it'll come out then, they're from the mix of 200 of Chulin and Yemeiser. You have to pull out 10 that are eligible as Yemeiser. So this is straightforward enough. What's our worst case scenario? Our worst case scenario is that the first 100 you pull out are all Chulin, and that gets you nowhere. But now all you have left, even in that scenario, is just Yemeiser, and they're eligible. And so you pull 10 more out of the Yemeiser, and then you have 110 in the basket for the Kohen, of which for sure at least 10 are Yemeiser, and you'll make that the Trumas Yemeiser and give it to the Kohen, being left with 90 for yourself. And that's what the Mishnah says. Mea chulun v'sukanin, mea Yemeiser. If you have 100 of chulun and 100 of Yemeiser mixed together, no till mea v'eser, you take out 110, and then you're for sure safe giving that to the Kohen. The fourth case says mea tevel and tisha Yemeiser. Here you have 100 tevel and 90 Yemeiser. So if you follow through, 100 tevel means that 10% has to go to Yemeiser, and a tenth of that, or one, would have to go as Trumas Yemeiser. So you have 10 eligible as Yemeiser, and one has to come out, meaning you have 90 ineligible for Yemeiser. As far as the 90 Yemeiser goes, so all of it is Yemeiser, of course, but 9 of it has to come out, a tenth of that, as Trumas Yemeiser. So a total that has to be removed from the mixture of 190, 100 Tevel plus 90 Yemeiser, is 10. 1 for the Tevel, and 9 for the Yemeiser, for a total of 10. So the question is, what's our worst case scenario? What could go wrong when we start pulling these out of the basket? The answer is nothing. There is no worst case scenario because we're only pulling out 10. Even if we pull out 10, if the first 10 came from the Tevel, well, that's 10 of the Tevel which are eligible to be Yemeiser. If the 10 came from the Yemeiser, then that's 10 that are Yemeiser. Either way, as soon as we pull out 10, we have the 10 we need. We can make a little bit of Trumas Yemeiser and give it to a Kohen and be left with the remainder and without having the Trumas Yemeiser problem. So you see here that if you have 100 Tevel and 90 Yemeiser, we actually have no economic loss, even though the mixture happened, because we can take out any 10 and make that to Trumas Yemeiser and be back, so to speak, to square one. And that's what the Mishnah says here. If you have Mea Tevel and Tisha Yemeiser, 100 Tevel and 90 Yemeiser, or if even you had Tisha Tevel and Shmona Yemeiser, the same would be true if you had 90 Tevel and 80 Yemeiser. Lo hifsid klum, you don't lose anything, meaning you pull out the economic requirements for Trumas Yemeiser. In the first case, I said, it was pull out 10, and those will become Trumas Yemeiser, and you lose nothing. So the Mishnah concludes, Zeh HaKlal, this is the principle, Kol Zman Shah Tevel Meruba, as long as you have more Tevel than you have Yemeiser, Lo Hefsed Klum, you don't lose anything, you can take out the requisite amount of Trumas Yemeiser, and you'll be okay. Okay, and that's the end of 7-7. If you got the end and you got all the cases, congratulations, that's great. A sidebar, just for the more mathematically inclined, when the Mishnah said Zeh HaKlal, the principle is Kol Zman Shem Tevel Meruba, provided that there's more Tevel than there's Yemeiser, Lo Hefsed Klum, you'll lose nothing. That's not strictly accurate. The truth is that one needs to have 10 times as much Tevel as the total Trumas Yemeiser that has to be removed from the mix. Without that, it won't work. So to illustrate the point, if you, for example, had 1,100 Tevel and 1,000 Yemeiser, so you have more Tevel than Yemeiser, and therefore Zeh HaKlal, the principle should kick in, you have more Tevel than the Tevel's Meruba, and it should work. But it actually doesn't work, and you are mafsid, because if you run the numbers, you see 1,100 Tevel means that you have a total of a tenth of that, 110 Yemeiser available. Of the 110 Yemeiser, you have to take out a tenth of that, or 11, as Trumas Yemeiser. As the Yemeiser, if you have 1,000 Yemeiser, a That's less than 1100 tevel. But if 1000 maaser, you have, of course, a full 1000 of maaser available, but you must take out 1/10 of that or 100 of the maaser as trumas maaser. So the total trumas maaser to come out of the mix is 11 for the 1100 tevel and 100 for the 1000 maaser, for a total of 111 pieces of trumas maaser. But now your worst case scenario is you only had 110 maaser available from the 1100 tevel. So if you, in theory, pull out 110 pieces, they could all be from the tevel, and that could all be maaser. But when you pull out the 111th piece, which you need, it could now be coming also from the tevel, and the tevel only had 110 maaser available, not 111. So now you'd be stuck, and you'd be forced to pull out the balance, the full 990 more of tevel, because of the worst case scenario, before you could pull out the certain piece of maaser from that maaser. So that's that. If you're very brave, you can take a stab at understanding the Bar Tanura and his approach to the Mishnah, which is very different. The Art Scroll does have a series of rather complex diagrams to walk you through it.